Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself? This fine President's Day.
I know. Then the president must have frozen because it's so cold.
It is. And everything's getting beat up all over the place. I mean, Boston is completely under wicked hot, cold weather, and, you know, it's all kind of crazy out there right now.
I know.
Now, they
I
have
know,
President's Day, but why don't they have a Vice President's Day?
You know, it's too early in the morning. I don't think the Vice Presidents do anything, if you really want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, when the unfortunate happens, then Lyndon Johnson and, you know, some
right.
other people. Step up. But, yeah, I don't know. Those are things that I really don't lose a lot of sleep over. You know what I mean?
Yes. So what do you lose sleep over? I think that's what everybody's really interested in. And just those of you who are listening.
I lose sleep over the stupidest stuff. Honestly, I do. You know, it's just I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about, okay, here's a good example. My husband is reading a book about wind and how it affects everything, okay? And it's, you know, it's one of these things, books that would make your hair hurt. So John is reading it, and then he will say things to me, you know, in the middle of dinner or in the middle of something we're watching on television. He will say, did you know that these little things that come from outer space and they're called trinos or something, they pass right through your body. And there's like millions of them that are passing. There's probably 60 million of them passing through your tongue right now.
Wow.
Now, that keeps me up at night because it's like, really? Did I need to know that? So that's the kind of, you know, really, really, really deep stuff keeps me up. What about you?
You know, the only thing keeps me up is when I wake up in the middle of the night and start working in my head, which happens all the time. You know, it's like all of a sudden, oh, got to do this. So, yeah, you know, that's the thing. You get so much, you know, work on the brain that you just spend basically laying in bed going, okay, I might as well just get up and go to work because I'm working anyways.
I mean, I have this, at 2 o'clock in the morning, everything seems brilliant, right? You know, because you're half asleep, and boy, that's really a good idea. And so what I used to do was I would get up and I would send a note to people and say, this is the best idea yet. And then I'd wake up in the morning and I'd read it and I'd go, oh, no.
Why did I send that?
Or, you know, God, it sounded, but, oh. So now what I do is I send myself that note and read it in the morning because usually I forget it or something. But the other day I slipped and I was thinking, boy, you know, this is a great idea. We should have a reinvention, a business reinvention revolution, and start it in Chicago. Now, 2 o'clock in the morning, that doesn't sound like such a bad idea. I mean,
no, not at all.
You know, but at 9 o'clock in the morning, it does. I mean, it's like a little ambitious and, you know, anyway, so that's been my trick because, you have to come up with these ideas, but then you have to step away from them and go, okay, wait, you know, let's just think about this. And more, it's like, can you make money at this? Can you monetize this?
Well, that's always the question, you know, and there's so many great ideas. And that, you know, that exactly, you know, one of the things that I did recently is I had to basically rebrand something that I originally started out to say, I think I can make money doing a podcast, you know, and it was not this one, it's another one. And so I decided, okay, in my infinite wisdom, that I was going to come up with a cool name and, you know, I was going to build a brand around it and all these other things. And it was called mymarketingmagnet.com. And, you know, that domain is still there, but, you know, I just kept, like, I felt like I was, you know, swimming upstream the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, why
yep.
does this have to be so hard? Because, you know, the content was great. The guests were fabulous. You know, I was getting rave reviews from everybody and, you know, and finally, you know, got the brick over the head enough times or, you know, hit my head into the wall enough times that I finally figured out that the wall is going to win, that I missed the boat on, you know, tying everything that I do to my personal brand, which is bacon. And, you know, because I have the bacon book and, you know, everything I post on Facebook and stuff like that. So it's like everybody knows me as the bacon guy. And, you know, it's a great brand and it's very memorable, but I thought, you know, how would that work, you know, with a webcast? Because most people wouldn't know who I was and wouldn't understand the combination of bacon and me. And, you know, so I said, let me do it so that it's a little bit more straightforward. Well, that was a mistake. It was a big mistake. So I just went and completely rebranded the entire podcast. It is now known as Bacon Podcast or The Bacon Podcast, and that's it. So,
everybody,
you know,
knows you by bacon.
I know.
I mean, every time I look at something online or see something about bacon, I think about you. I always do. And it's like, I wonder if Brian has this. I wonder if Brian's seen this. So, yeah, but you know what? I think that's really true when we are so close to our own stuff that we think, oh, God, people aren't going to get this or they're tired of it or, you know, something. And so we, you know, go out and do some thing that we think is fabulous and we thought of it 2 o'clock in the morning and instead of sending ourselves a note to see if it really makes sense, we just go fucking do it. And, you know, that's how we learn, though, don't you think?
No, absolutely.
I like the magnet thing, but, you know, bacon has just made you a star, so... You know, you can't.
No, and it's so true, but it was like, I just didn't think, you know, in my infinite wisdom, like you say, you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're thinking, okay, what is the general population who doesn't know me going to think? And, you know, but that's, you know, one of the things you also have to do in business is you have to be willing to say, you know what, I made a mistake. It's either time to pull the plug or it's time to do something with it. And,
exactly.
And that's, you know, that's always the case is you're sitting here going, you know, why is this working or why is this not working? I mean, you'd like to know that things are just working so well. You'd like to know why, right? So you can repeat it.
Right.
But when it's not working, you got to have the, you know, you've got to have the wherewithal and the intestinal fortitude to say, okay, I made
pull
a mistake.
Right, because and that's hard because it's your idea and because you're pretty married to it and God, it just sounds so great. And like you said, I love the analogy of running into a brick wall and you just keep doing it until finally you are so battered and you're so, and then you look up at that brick wall and you go, you know, you won. And that's it. And so, but I noticed that what you did was you did put out a note to people on Facebook, I think it was, to say, okay, what do you like better? What do you like better, this name, the bacon name, or the magnet name? And as I recall, it was like unanimous bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows you by bacon. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, so that was a big aha.
It was.
Right?
And that's one of the cool things about, you know, social media is people know you. They're going to tell you the honest truth. And, you know, it really drives me crazy, you know. Now, that's why you have social media. It's all about relationships. And that's essentially what my book is about, you know. But it absolutely drives me crazy when people think that the only thing that social media is good for is retargeting and pixeling and just putting your ads up and, you know, using your email lists and all this other stuff when there's so much more to it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do. One of our guests, and I can't remember when Mark was on. Mark Babbitt was one of our guests.
Oh, yes.
Several months ago. Anyway, he's come out with a new book, which I bought yesterday, and it is fabulous. It's called A World Gone Social, and it's how companies must adapt to survive, meaning, you know, they got to get the social thing. And the other book I bought was Future Smart. Both of these books are excellent because basically, I mean, it's. I think this is all of people who deal with corporate America or, you know, business in general. You know, there's always resistance when something new comes in because it's new, because, oh, it hasn't been proven, because, you know, I can't measure it, because. But the reality is if you look at how many people are using, let's take, for example, mobile devices. So the percentage of people on smartphones versus laptops and computers is, I mean, it's like millions more are using their mobile devices. So what does that say? That says that, you know, if you have a website, it might look great on a laptop, you know, but it's going to look like crap, I'll bet. On a mobile device, it's going to look lousy, and that's, you know, that, so that's, those are the kinds of things that you know, that people are facing, people in business, and they're thinking it's not really that important, but it is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, or you know, I keep using me as the example. When you and I first met, and you brought it to my attention. You know, Jen, you haven't looked at your website since, like, 2009. So what's up with that? And, you know, and it's true. Because if you look at the original website, there's a lot of words. People don't read that crap anymore. You know, they want a lot of pictures, but they want it to make sense. They want it to be entertaining. You know, that's why I like Fast Company. I like Business Insider. I like yours. And my new one that's coming out is just the creme de la creme. But.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is. And you bring up so many great points. I mean, and that's something, and I think the lesson that I learned is something, you know, that I think everybody needs to at least evaluate a little bit is, you know, in this, let's take it all the way back to when I worked in corporate America. We used to give presentations on things called overhead projectors. You remember those, right?
Oh, yes.
So what you had is
you believe that?
Yeah, I do believe it. So you typed up, up on your computer. Back then it was a desktop computer that, you know, there was no such thing as laptops or anything like that. And we had dot matrix printers. I don't think there were laser printers even yet. And then you take that over to a copy machine and you would copy it to a clear film. And then you'd take basically printed text, you know, normal Helvetica text, and put it up there and try to project it and explain things to people with that. And that was the way everybody presented. That was it. And then all of a sudden, the desktop computer came out, and then there was PowerPoint. And just because you have PowerPoint does not necessarily mean you need to use every feature that's involved in there. So what I saw was, so all of a sudden people were bringing, you know, you had to roll around a cart with a desktop computer so you could show PowerPoint, and people were like whizzing this in and flying that in and, you know, making everything spin and multicolor and different fonts on different pages. And it's like, you know, you're just sitting there looking at it and it's going, I almost wish we went back to that because we had one font, one color. It was so much easier to understand, you know, because it was, people just took it to the nth degree. I mean, they just, they were so enamored with
the
technology.
Right. And we're still using PowerPoint, and it's been, well, I go back to the liquid paper days.
Oh, yeah.
That's how far I go back. So, anyway, it's just, I mean, it's just, I know that people, they want to be able to measure everything. You know, if I can't measure it, why am I making this investment? And I think that, I mean, I know now, particularly with some new technology around, like let's take mobile apps, for example, because I'm extremely intrigued by how far that whole technology has come. You can get reports now, and you can and it will show you the results of using, you know, who's using your mobile app, how they're using it, and tie that all together, you know, to your. But the reality is, and I think what people don't understand is, if you say to people, where is the first place the average person goes to find information?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they
go?
They go to Google.
Yes, they do.
Okay. And if your name or your company name shows up on the eighth page, that means that you're in big trouble because you're not really there at all.
Well, but the key question is there's two different things in that. A lot of people want to be number one on Google, and I'm here to tell you, as somebody who does this for a living, there's only two ways to be on the first page in Google.
Right.
First way is to pay Google.
The second way is to pay Google.
No, there's a second way that you don't have to pay Google. But you're going to, no matter what happens, you're going to pay Google in one way, shape, or form. Now,
right.
I don't know about you, but I get these phone calls all the time. Hi, this is Jane. You're Google local specialist. No, you're not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Nobody, let me tell you, people, I'm telling you right now, nobody from Google will ever call you unless.
No.
I do. I actually do get calls from Google because I have a client that spends $2,500 a month. And Google likes to tell you how to utilize that better and maybe get more by spending more, because that's what Google does. So if you spend money with Google, they will contact you. But otherwise, it's a scam. So either you're going to pay Google through Google Direct, or you're going to pay somebody else who is going to try to do for you what you can't do yourself directly on Google. And 9 times out of 10, what they're doing with that is they're helping you compete against your competition. That's all they're doing. Is they're,
right.
They'll take one keyword and they'll sell it to 50 people. And they'll say that they get a discount on Google. They're not getting a discount. Nobody gets a discount on Google, as far as I know, unless there's... There might be a, you know, something else that I'm not aware of, but I could tell you right now, the Yellow Pages and all these other companies, all they are doing is just basically putting you in a lump sum category with all of your competition, buying one keywords and selling it to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. The second way that you can actually get higher up in the Google rankings, which is a lot more time consuming and harder, is to spend as much time as possible on social media, blogging, and getting your content aggregated out to as many places as possible that link back to your website. So, for example, I just worked with a client who had, and this goes to what you were talking about, is they had somebody who developed a website for them in WordPress, yay, but the website was not mobile compliant, so then they developed a second website in a mobile platform, and then they developed a third website for their blog.
You're kidding.
So they had three different, completely different websites.
Ooh.
Trying to replicate one, and then on top of that, then they were buying Google ads, dropping around $1,500 a month with about 700 words that half of them didn't make sense for the business. They were just trying to drive as much traffic to the website, so they're, you know, strike one, strike two, out. You know, so that's why with the new technology, you know, the best thing you could do is have a blog that's associated with your website with a mobile ready theme and then you're writing great blog content that is getting aggregated out to things like LinkedIn or being put up on other websites like, you know, business to community or, you know, or Mashable or something along those lines. Is the more your content gets out there, the more it draws traffic into your website, the more you're going to get found and the higher you will rank for keywords. And a perfect example of that is – well, I'll give one more quick example is my company name, B2B Interactive Marketing. When I started the company, I was not even thinking about Google because it just wasn't part of my vernacular at the time. Come to find out that Google is B2B interactive marketing is about as generic as Kleenex. That's it.
Right.
So,
but the thing is,
I'm if you search this, and I actually had somebody search it in Canada, I came up number one by all the things I just told you.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Well, so, okay. Now, there's just a little break in this conversation. I think it's time to tell the audience our surprise this morning.
I would love to. Go ahead.
Prize is that we, that would be Brian and I, are our own guests. How about that? In case you hadn't noticed, we are interviewing each other. And we are doing a darn good job.
I think so, too.
Darn good job.
Yeah, well, life happens. We actually did have a guest, but unfortunately, something happened to the, you know, an emergency, and, you know, stuff happens. And I said to, she actually called me before. She called me before the show, and I just said, look, you know, life is life, and this is marketing, and this is fun, but, you know, go take care of life. If we can do another, we'll get you back on the show some other time.
That kind of stuff happens, and so we're just chit-chatting here about things that we think are important and hope that you think are important, too. No, they are. They're very important.
Or hope they'll learn something from it. So the books that you read, I mean, does that kind of like fall in line with the kind of things that I was saying just a minute ago?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, one of these, the Future Smart is about trends around technology. And it talks about what are the trends like in medicine. And he goes like 10 years out. So, you know, he's talking about robots, which everybody is afraid of, you know, because they're going to take my job and all kinds of stuff. And it's interesting how he positions these things to be more of, you know, an assistant kind of thing. And so because he gives you a glimpse into what, you know, big companies are working on now. And we know that some of these will go and some of them won't. So, but one of the things he talks about is the tsunami of change, tomorrow's jobs. And, you know, the game changer about how the new work ethic, for example, the millennial generation are outnumbering the baby boomers and everybody else. And so some of the ideas they have are things like making a difference, commitment to social change, contributing to sustainable planet, flexible work design. And as I read these, I thought, this is a lot of this stuff is straight out of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's us. They're, you know, and that's why I think that his point in this book is that, you know, instead of fighting, the generations have got to get together and work together because we complement each other. And to me, that's, you know, that's really, really important. That's an important concept to get across. So, and then our friend Mr. Babbitt, like I said, wrote this book called A World Gone Social, and he talks, gives a lot of examples of businesses who, you know, were kind of antisocial, if you were, and how that held them back. And, you know, these are real-life examples. And he talks about the customer holds all the cards, which is so true, and I think we forget that because customers and clients have so many more options now, and they have information at their fingertips, and they can either make you or break you on social media.
Yep.
Remember,
exactly.
You know, he gives the example of the guy that on United Airlines that had his guitar broken, and United said, "We're not paying for a new one because you didn't give us a 24-hour." You know, it was a technicality. It was only going to cost him $1,500, but, you know, the guy took it to Facebook or something, and the complaint went viral. I mean, it was amazing. So I think people think, well, that won't happen to me. But yeah, it certainly will.
And it can. And that's the thing that, you know, there's social consciousness, there's social listening. You know, companies like Comcast have people that do nothing but sit there but listen to what's happening on Twitter just to, you know, when somebody complains about something. And if you do, if you go on, if you want to get, you know, customer service from Comcast really quick, just go on Twitter and complain and put a hashtag in there. Comcast sucks. And somebody will contact you immediately.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
It's true, though. It's a real hashtag. Yeah, but that's just,
we've got 5 minutes left, but what's amazing to me is the other dimension that social media brings to television, especially sports events, because you get on Twitter and you're watching a football game, and then there's this dimension of people saying incredibly funny things, or like during awards banquets. Those are my favorites.
Or even last night, the Saturday Night Live reunion, you know, it's like people would just immediately, as soon as, you know, Paul McCartney got off stage, people were talking about that, and then Kanye West, and, you know, it's like, it's the immediacy of information now that's what makes social media, but it's the relationships that you have with the people that are commenting that are important, and that's the key, and that's really the most important thing I think most people need to understand. So we've got about 3 minutes left. So any final thoughts that you want to give our audience for this week's call?
Well, it's such a slice working with you. That's a slice of life, a slice of bread. It's just, you know, I just really enjoy this. I think this was a good show. It was fun. And I hope that we talked about some things that people found important, and they'll buy your book, and they'll look at my new website if and when
should buy your book. Just go to Amazon, search our names, you'll find our stuff.
That's right. And I've got a new deck of little cards called Reinvention Tip Cards, so you'll find those too. All right.
I love that. Yep, and I've rebranded my podcast, which I've got to go back to all 31 episodes and basically re-record the openings to them, because I changed it to Bacon Podcast or The Bacon Podcast, either one of those. Either one of those will go to, you know, to find the website. So live and learn, and a little bit of extra work, but you know what? In the long run, it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, and we got to keep Brian, you know, happy and in the dough, as they say.
Exactly. Well, it's all about reinvention, you know. That's what this whole show is
about,
is being adaptable. Right. Oh, it is. Everything's about bacon, yes. It's not about you.
Everything's about bacon. No.
It's about bacon. Bacon is the duct tape of food, you know. It's meat, candy. It's so many things that are fabulous. So, all right, Jan. Well, we're getting down to the wire here. We've got about a minute. And, again, this was a fun show. It was fun for us just to chat. We haven't done this in a long time. We've talked about it.
I know.
And
good.
Yeah, so we got it done. And
we got it done.
So make sure, people, that if you have any questions, you know, this is the one thing that we don't do is, guys, if you have any questions, you can go to Jan's website, which is, go ahead, Jan.
HighGainCompanies.com. And ask
go to HighGainCompany. Yep, and just go in and type in the questions that you have. I just added a questions tab to BaconPodcast.com. If you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, put them in there, and we'll try to answer them on one of the shows. How's that? So be interactive with us, and we hope you enjoy this podcast. We enjoy doing it for you, because that's the whole purpose of this, is to, you know, get you some great guests and some great interviews. Jan, have yourself an awesome week.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.